going. And if you don't care, just if you don't mind, tell me your, just state your name out loud and your age, so we'll have it on.
I'm Tracy Messer, and I'm 76 years old, and I live at Lieburn, Kentucky.
And we'll also start out, what year did you graduate?
I graduated from Old Hindman High School in 1938. We were the largest class that had ever finished there. There were 40 of us. Only 40, though. Just think what it is today. Mm. Yeah. But I stayed in the Hindman Settlement School. I went there when I was 12 years old. I was ready for high school. But they wouldn't take any children that weren't in high school. So I spent 2 years with my uncle and aunt, Dan and Elizabeth Prater, at Frogtown. And when I got ready for high school, then they accepted me down at Settlement School, and I spent the next 4 years there.
Living on campus?
Living on campus, and most of the summer I stayed there and worked. Mm-hmm. You know, we only got to 10 cents an hour, but you know, you'd be surprised how that added up. And I would have almost enough money to buy my material, to have my clothes made to wear that for the following fall. Mm-hmm. And it was just, staying at the Settlement School was really a bright spot in my life, a very big, big thing in my life. Because we lived in quicksand, very remote, and there was no way that I could have gone to high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, finished my 4 years there had I not been able to stay in the Settlement School.
Mm-hmm. How did you know about the Settlement School? How did you hear about it?
Well, I guess everybody pretty well knew about it. Mm-hmm. I guess we were the first children from my family to go to it. Our mother was determined. Our father worked away in the mines, and she was determined that we'd get an education. And she, I guess we just always knew about it. And as soon as she could, she saw to it that we went. Mm-hmm. And so there were 11 of us. Really, I'm a child of 15, but four were died very young, you know. Mm-hmm. And 11 of us grew to be grown. So we just knew about, I guess everybody just knew about the Settlement School, you know.
Who else in your family went to school there?
Well, I had Mary Ruth and my sister Jessie. Now they didn't like it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. And they didn't stay all the time. And my brother James and my brother Paul and my brother Walter. Mm-hmm. I guess that's all.
So you all went to school there at some point?
The ones I mentioned. Now, yeah. My parents moved out of Quicksand before the smaller children were ready to go to high school. Mm-hmm. Willie and Wilma and Eve. Yeah, I guess you know Willie Prater, my brother.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. They moved out. Mm-hmm. Because there was sort of a gap. There was a group of children, and there's a little gap here, and then three more. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want to let them to leave home, and they moved over to Hindman, and they lived over there until they died. Mm-hmm. So but now the other children didn't. I don't know, they just didn't like it, but I loved it. I really did. I just loved it. And I think it meant a lot to me. It helped me in a lot of ways, you know.
What kind of ways do you think?
Well, I was a little child in sixth grade when I came to live with my uncle and his wife. And you see, I was taught, after I went to Settlement School, so many things, because each semester, and I stayed 4 years, we were assigned a new job, every student there. And they wanted you to cover all the bases, you might say. Mm-hmm. And we really learned how, just to set a table properly. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even learned that, you know. And then they had the practice home, or you might call it the hospital. I guess they've torn that building down, haven't they? Well, sort of an infirmary thing. And if kids got sick, they could go up there, you know. In fact, I had my tonsils removed there. Dr. Brown from Hazard came over, and it didn't cost me anything. Mm-hmm. And I sat up in a chair, and he snipped them out. He deadened them, you know, and all, but I could hear those snip, snip, snip.
Oh.
Yeah. Hope I don't bother.
Oh, no, it doesn't bother me.
But I could, and but that's where I had my tonsils removed. But anyway, you had to stay up there. If you were there 4 years, you had to put in one semester at practice home. You were just practicing as if you were running a home. We did. The girls, there were six of us that stayed, you know.
And you lived there.
We lived there. We had a house mother and a house father, Mr. and Mrs. Potter. And then we did our own cooking, mm-hmm. cleaning, and, you know, all the work, we did it. Mm-hmm. And it sort of, you know, it helps you to learn how to do.
Yeah.
Just our home, really. Then in the dining hall, we had everybody put in a semester, or some of us put more than one in. And Miss Elkins, now she was really precious to me. Mm-hmm. And she taught me, she helped me so much. And she was over the dining hall. And she saw to it that you did it just right. You didn't mess around. And of course, some of them didn't like that. She was picky, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I spent one semester. I got up in the morning and helped. They had cooks, but they had some of the students help, and I got up and helped prepare breakfast. Mm-hmm. So they wanted you to touch all bases, you know, learn how. Then I worked out on the ground some. They had their own dairy, you know. Mm-hmm. They had their own cattle, cows. Mrs. Burns was the lady in charge of that, Mrs. Martha Burns. And they had their barn and everything, you know, and the boys did the milking. And we had a pasteurizer. And we pasteurized our milk down. It was located down in the part of the kitchen under the old orchard house.
Uh-huh.
That's where it was before, you know, before they built Maystone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always they pasteurized the milk, and it was really, real good. And so I just liked it. I really did. And but now, not everybody will say that.
Yeah.
They sure won't, but you can ask me some questions.
I will. I didn't want to interrupt you at all. That's just fine.
Well, I may rattle on too much. And
no.
If I do, stop me.
Well, no, you're doing just fine. Let's see, you were talking about living on campus, and that's one thing I'm real interested in. Because, like you said, there's a lot of people that I can talk to in Knott County
mm-hmm.
that didn't live at the settlement. They walked in.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like your room, like where you slept and things like that?
Oh,
what do you remember about
that? We had a room, and sometimes there were two in a room. It depended on the room, and sometimes there were as many as four.
Mm-hmm.
And you had bunk beds, you know, and we had to keep our own room clean. And it was inspected. Miss Elkins inspected our room every day.
Well.
She sure did. And if it wasn't made, if the sheets weren't tucked and done hospital style, you did it over. Hmm. Now, that's right. And so it was, she was real, real strict, and but I think that meant a lot to me. I mean, maybe right at that time, but I never felt that she was pushing me too hard. But if maybe as I thought, some of them thought it was a little too much, but I could see where it wasn't. I think it was a great help.
Yeah. What time did y'all have to go to bed and things like that, or get up?
Well, we had to go to bed at night at 9:30. And we had, on Sunday, we had what was called quiet hour, and we had to rest, lie down and rest, or be quiet at least, for 1 hour in that. Let's see, 2 to 3, I believe, is what it was. Mm-hmm. And I can remember, we would be lying on our bed watching outside, you know, we'd be quiet, but when Betty Combs, first, you knew her, didn't you? Mm-hmm. When she first came there, oh, we thought she was the most beautiful person. She came from Cleveland, and she was just all so pretty and, you know, everything. And she and Pearl Combs were dating, and we would watch from our room every Sunday, and they'd go out for a drive or something, you know, and then he'd walk her back up. She lived up at the hospital, and he'd walk her up through there. And I just thought they were the most, oh, they were just perfect. They were a perfect couple, you know. We all thought we just loved to see them going, walking up. Now, that was really a highlight to the girls, you know, watching. But and soon they married.
What were any other rules that you remembered maybe that y'all had to follow since you lived there?
Oh, we couldn't go to town except we had to have certain, maybe twice a week we were allowed to go to town. Mm-hmm. And we checked out and we checked back in. And we were just supposed to be gone so long, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were not allowed to go into, they did sell spirits in Hindman at that time. And we were not allowed to, I don't guess anybody really wanted to go into those places. And they had these jukeboxes, and they were going strong at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that they put any restrictions on us, except just we couldn't be gone too long. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't go, but I think it was twice a day, a week. And then on Sunday, we always went to church. We had the Baptist and the Methodist church, and some of the teachers went to the Methodist, some to the Baptist. So they chaperoned each group, you know. Mm-hmm. They took us to church. I know Miss Watts always went to the Baptist most of the time and took us. That's where I always went. And in fact, that was where I was saved. Not in the old building. It soon fell off its post, but up in the courthouse, we were holding services up there. And, but, you know, and then on Sunday night, we had what was called Christian Endeavor.
What was that?
Well, all the students gathered at 6:30, I believe it was. We had pamphlets. They'd been run off, and we read, you know, in unison and so forth that night. And different people would speak, different students, more from the senior class, mm-hmm. you know, of that year. They would do most of the speaking. Mm-hmm. And we sang, and you know, I just loved that. I thought mm-hmm. that, and you know, I remember it to this day so distinctly, meeting, you know, and everything. And not all the teachers came, but a lot of them did. Mm-hmm. But Miss Watts was in charge of it.
And what was that called?
Christian Endeavors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we read from passages from the Bible. Different ones were called on, you know, mm-hmm. to read and things of that nature. But and we didn't have an evening meal on Sunday as we did the other days mm-hmm. of the week. we had a real good Sunday lunch, I mean dinner, what I call it. But it, anyway, that night, the girls that worked in the kitchen would prepare, the cooks didn't have to work that evening, and they'd prepare sandwiches, mm-hmm. just different kinds of sandwiches, and fruit. We always had an apple or something like that, and sandwiches, and take, no, we knew how many students were each building, and we'd put them in baskets and take them to each building, and they would have their own meal there at their, mm-hmm. you know, the house mother would take care of it until they got ready to eat, and they would have their meal there.
Well,
on
that'd
Sunday.
Be kind of nice.
Uh-huh. That's the way we did it. So then didn't have to mess up the mm-hmm. dining
yeah.
hall and all of that, you know, have all that dishwashing.
Yeah. What about your other meals? What was it? What were meals like eating all together?
Well, in the, we always, everybody was expected to be present when mealtime came. And there would be a lady, a teacher at the head of the table to do the serving. Mm-hmm. And then one at the end, and sometimes there'd have to be one over on the side, you know. Sometimes there were three teachers if we needed more mm-hmm. space and all. And in the mornings, we would have most of the, well, all winter months, we had hot cereal, cream of wheat or oatmeal one. Mm-hmm. And they brought it up in a, they cooked it and put it in a metal, it was a pretty container with a lid on it. And she took the lid off the steam, you just see it come up. And they, she's the one who served at the head of the table, served your cereal and mm-hmm. passed it down to you. And then you had eggs, scrambled eggs most of the time, and sausage or bacon, and we had biscuit, beaten biscuit. Now, I've never eaten any biscuit that anyone ever made that tasted like theirs.
What were they like?
Well,
everybody talked about
they were flaky. Just, oh, they were just out of this world, and I never could make them. I really tried, but I couldn't. They just, you'd run them through that. See, we had but was a little, sort of like a old-time ringer type washer, mm-hmm. and we'd run that back and forth, that pastry, you know, after we got it mixed, back and forth. But now they were, well, somebody might could tell you more about the biscuit than I could, but they sure were good.
Mm-hmm. That's what everybody says.
Yeah, but I don't know how to make them. I wish I did.
Holy cow, I never have to figure that out.
But I've never eaten any more like them. Miss
mm-hmm.
Elkins was the one that made, she's the one that figured out how to make those.
Mm-hmm.
She kept working at it until she perfected it. She, it was really perfect.
What other kinds of foods did y'all eat? Or what?
Oh, we had lots of vegetables. See, they grew, had their own garden.
Mm-hmm.
We had lots of vegetables, and they were good. And we had meat, and they didn't grow enough to do them, you know. And we had enough to have on the table mostly, but to prepare and put away for the winter, we didn't can or whatever. So John Vernon Jones's mother would, she must have canned and raised a terrible lot of food. She would bring it in by wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And here she, I can just see her now. And she would have that wagon full of food, canned food. She sold it to the settlement, you know.
Yeah.
And they would buy anything, you know. People picked berries. They would buy those. And, you know, we'd have berry pie, berry cobbler, what have you. And apples. People brought apples and sold them to them.
Mm-hmm.
And but they, I remember John Vernon's mother, Brasky Jones, bringing her wagon, and she'd just have lots of potatoes, you know, and canned foods. And
mm-hmm.
It was And of course they didn't, everything was so cheap then, sort of, you know, depression time.
Yeah.
It was 30, it was 34, but you know, things were down then. And so it was, everything was cheap, but it was hard to get a hold of money.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have it.
Hmm. Let's see, what else? When you were in high school, I guess, since that's mainly when you lived on campus, right?
Pardon?
Did you mainly live on campus when you were in high school?
All through my high school.
Oh, okay.
Sixth and seventh grades, I was
at
my uncle's up at,
okay.
Yeah.
What kind of, what classes do you remember taking? What were the classes that
Oh, I took typing under Mr. Steele, and I took French under Miss Standish, and I took home ec under Mrs. Potter, and Miss Standish taught me English too.
Mm-hmm.
And Pearl Combs taught me math, all my math, geometry and everything. And Edith K. Smith taught me history. Mm-hmm. She's just not been gone too long.
What classes were your favorites? Or do you remember liking the most?
Well, I think I liked English real well, and I liked history too. And I didn't like math.
I don't like it either.
I really didn't like it, but it was part of it, you know. Had to do it. But I'm trying to think. I enjoyed home ec when, you know, while I was taking it. Of course, I didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a few, sewed a few, learned to make a few things, a few garments, but I never followed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wasn't that gifted. I think you're kind of gifted to that.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
And I'm not. But, I've cooked a lot in my lifetime, though.
Uh-huh.
Don't do much now.
Who were some, you were telling me about, you've already told me about some of your teachers that you liked or that you
mm-hmm.
remember.
Well, I liked them all.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problem with them.
Which ones kind of stand out in your mind, maybe tell me about them? Like Mr. Steele, you had him for typing. What was
yeah,
he like?
Yeah, and he was an assistant. He just couldn't, he'd be nicer. He'd just so kind to you. And he'd, you know, I'd hardly seen the typewriter or anything, you know, but anyway, he would show us what to do, and we had assignments, and we had to practice a lot, you know, how you do typing. Write the same thing right over and over again, and he wouldn't stand right over your shoulder and make you nervous or anything like that. He was real, real kind and nice. My husband and I, we've always been good friends to Mr. Steele.
Mm-hmm.
He was, before my husband passed away, they were always good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But, I liked Miss Standish. She was just a wonderful person.
What was she like?
Well, she was just one of these people that when she sees you, she's just always bubbling over. She's ready to help you anything that you need help in. And so I just thought a lot of her. I had French under her, and she was real good to us. She knew that we didn't hardly know what was going on when we first started,
yeah.
You know. And so she was so nice to us. Well, they were all, you know, pretty much, most of them were nice.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have a few.
Well, yeah. That happens.
Yeah, but I don't have a lot of complaints about my teachers. Mm-mm.
What did people think? I know that a lot of the teachers were from, you know, up east. Or
yeah, they were most all.
Yeah, most of them weren't from around here. And sometimes people aren't, you know, they don't like that too much. What did people think about that?
Well, you know, I don't think that they really thought that much about it. Miss Manshart, now, I remember she was there at the grade school she was one of the teachers, mm-hmm. and she was from Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and they just, you know, came from hither and yon, and I never did. I mean, now she was teaching in the grade school, mm-hmm. but you know, I never heard any grade school people ever say anything. You know, parents.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure. I was trying to get, you know, like a feeling mm-hmm. of what people thought.
No, but I guess because Miss Watts, Miss Stone, and Miss Pettit came in, and they started all this, and they were so happy, I guess, to have this school, mm-hmm. the people around, you know, and Uncle Solomon Everidge gave them, I guess, property. Or, mm-hmm. And I think that's right. But I know it was the three ladies, Miss Stone and Miss Pettit and Miss Watts.
Yeah.
And so I knew all of them, and Miss Cobb. Oh, she's the sweetest thing that ever was. Miss Cobb was. She taught Latin, and she taught some English classes too. Uh-huh. And she was just precious. She lived. She had red hair, and I always wished that my hair, and her hair turned just as white as could be, and I always just prayed for mine to do it turn and be like hers, but it didn't, and it's not going to, I don't think. But of course, she lived up about 90 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Miss Stone's hair was it's beautiful. It was white. Oh, uh-huh. just.
And you knew Miss Stone?
Oh yes.
What was she like?
Oh, she was a lovely lady. She was. She didn't say much, and she didn't have as much going with the students as Miss Watts did, uh-huh. you know, because she was gone most of her time.
Yeah.
But I went up and cleaned up at Hillside, where she and Miss Watts lived, one semester, and I learned her more so that way, you know. But she was just the most pleasant person that you'd ever want to see. She really was. Now, Miss Watts more stern.
Yeah,
and she had that eye, you know.
Tell me about Miss Watts.
Oh, well, Miss Watts, now, I thought she was really, really nice, but she sure could get you. Mm-hmm. Just looking at you. Did you know Miss Watts?
Yeah, I knew really well. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, she sure, did you ever notice anything about her?
I guess I knew her. She was so much older.
Oh, I see.
And so I never knew her.
Yeah.
When she was actually running things.
Well, you see, she had all that responsibility about us children. She was over that. And if you did something that wasn't just exactly right, you knew about it right away. Because mm-hmm. you were called up to her office. Absolutely. And why did you do that? You know, and she just pierced. Her eyes were just piercing you.
Shoot. What kind of job do you think she did running?
Oh, I think she did a wonderful job. I don't know if anybody else could have hardly handled it at the time with such low funds as they had. And, well, it was all gifts, you know, and everything from away. So I don't know. I don't know if anybody else could have done it or not. I was there. When she resigned, I was at the meeting. See, I taught kindergarten for her mm-hmm. after I got up. After my son was born, I didn't teach. And I taught kindergarten. It's just half a day for the settlement school for 3 years. And so she asked me to come to this meeting, and that's when she resigned. And you know what? That just hurt me real, real deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Mr. McLean was taking over. Uh-huh. She said that she wanted to announce and tell everybody, you know, that he was coming on.
Yeah. Okay, hang on a second. Let me turn.
Oh, I don't think I ever saw Miss Betty, just pictures of her,
okay.
All I ever saw.
Yeah.
She didn't, I don't think she was around after I went there. I went there the year 34, 35, and I graduated in 37, 38. Mm-hmm. Well, graduated in 38, you know, but it was that year. And so I never knew her, but I knew Miss Cobb and Miss Watts and Miss Stone very real well.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Cobb always slept out on I think she'd had a little problem in her life. I don't know what, but I just wouldn't want to say what it was, but they had a screened-in porch,
mm-hmm.
and she slept out there all winter.
In the cold?
Well, she kept herself covered well, but she needed this air, mm-hmm. fresh air. Mm-hmm.
So she slept on the porch?
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. She's the only person I knew. And now, as far as I know, she did all winter long.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, because I was up there a lot, and she'd sleep out there.
Did you girls ever get in, going back to when you lived up there, did you girls ever get into any mischief or anything? Or things like that, or maybe just things that y'all did together, just things that you remember about being up there?
Well, I know. You know, we were allowed to go to ball games. We were chaperoned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's our biggest outlet, was going to the ball games during the ball season. But Miss Elkins, she wasn't a chaperone, but she'd stand right there and look out the window and see who walked you home.
Well.
Of course, we had a chaperone.
Uh-huh.
And if a person that she walked you home that she didn't approve of, you heard about it.
What would she do?
Well, she'd just call you to her, you know. Mm-hmm. She'd find a good time, and she'd tell you that she didn't think that he was the right person for you to be seeing. But we got real tickled about that. She'd always say, yeah, watch. And she didn't want, she wanted us to let a settlement boy walk us home. Didn't, if you let a town boy, then you were probably, you know, she'd say something to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sure would. He's real funny. But you wanted that. He's not the person that you should be going, walking home with. He's not the one you should let walk you home.
Did anybody ever get mad at her for?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of them got mad at her. I guess I was real, real fond of her because she just, I don't know, she just treated me like I was her own daughter.
Yeah.
Really. That's true. But some of them, she wasn't, didn't treat hardly so good.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I did whatever she told me to do, and
it,
I guess that made a difference. But she was a real fine lady and had lots of good qualities that she passed on. If you would absorb them, you'd learn a lot from her, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. You were talking earlier when we first started doing this, just you made a comment that the settlement had just meant so much to
it
you.
It has.
It was a bright spot. Tell me about that, maybe.
Well, if I hadn't gotten to go there, I just doubt if I could have gone through high school. And then that would have meant the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, you know, because that led on to going farther on, you know. And I was able to teach until I retired. So, and I just feel like it made me a better person. I really do.
How do you think it did that?
Well, I had wonderful parents. There's no doubt. But my father had to live, he stayed away most of the time working in the mines to make a little money at Hardbury. He couldn't stay at home. And our mother, she just had so much to do. And she was one of the most wonderful mothers you'd ever know. And she worked so hard, but it was so hard for her with all 11 children. Mm-hmm. And she had to see that we got to school and we got something to eat and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
And the settlement school was really, it just meant a lot to me, because I feel like, as I said, I think it made me a better person. It made me understand how to, of course, I had a large family to live with, but you need to learn how to live with those that are not your family, too. And I learned how to do that, you know. Never had much of a problem with that, though. And I just learned how to do so many things that I would have never learned otherwise. So I just feel like I got good training. That's the main thing.
How do you think, how do you think the settlements affected just this area from living here your whole life and seeing the things that go
well,
on?
Well, it really, it helped an awful lot. We had children come Floyd County, Perry County, back through there, Leatherwood, back that way, and Leslie and Letcher County. We had an awful lot. And Floyd County, McDowell, we had people come that way. I just had a lot of friends that came back from Leatherwood, you know. And so it just meant an awful lot to everybody. They lived so far, but see, where I grew up, you'd have to, you know, sometimes you might get a ride in the back of a truck or something over to Vest from Hindman. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might walk it. Then you go a little path up by the Beck and Cone School and cross the mountain. Now that's, when I went home, that was the only way I could go home.
How long did it take you?
I don't know how long. I crossed that mountain up by the cemetery. There was a big cemetery, and I never will forget. When I'd be walking, and it'd always get dark on me. And when I'd get up the cemetery, I'd just fly.
I don't blame you.
I'd go just fly. And I don't know why I was running, but not now I don't. But at that time, I could just hear things, you know. So it would take me a long, long time. Most of the time, though, I'd get away down to Vest, to Tom Sutton's, and then I'd walk on. And if you've never been over there, it's called Baker.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been there. Been a long time.
Have you been down Quicksand any, over to where the Patricks live?
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Well, just a little way below there, to the left, is a hollow.
Uh-huh.
And we lived about a mile and a half up that hollow.
You did live way out.
And
there.
That's where we lived. And that's where we grew up till soon as we got big enough that our mother could get us in at the settlement, she pushed us out.
Yeah.
You know, because she wanted, we had to walk all that way now, that hall about a mile and a half each way to the school down there, Baker School, and then she just felt like it was a one-room school and everything, and she felt like we weren't getting what we needed, so that's it.
Well, I've asked you all my questions. I don't know if there's maybe something that I haven't asked you or I've left out that maybe you feel is important or that's popped into your mind while we've been talking about
you. Yeah, sometimes I think about things, I should have written down things, but sometimes we didn't, when we graduated, we were not allowed to graduate in gowns. We didn't have caps and gowns.
Uh-huh.
That, I guess that would have been too expensive for us, you know. Uh-huh. We were supposed to have a white dress and white shoes. Uh-huh. And Miss Elkins, all that she could, she grew these beautiful flowers. She had called them borders. You'd be a walkway, and where you cross the bridge there coming from Maystone, and you go up through there, there's a little path, and she called it a border. And she'd have the peonies all up and down. Of course, they don't have that now, but at graduation time now, she had them ready, and each girl carried three, I believe, with her white dress. So, you know, I was just thought that was real pretty, and it was simple, very simple. And the boys just wore a white shirt and dark pants, you know, like that. But then they started, a few years later, wearing caps and gowns.
Yeah.
That was in 1938.